It's great to see all of you here tonight. I want to share just a few paragraphs from an article that I read today that spoke about how that Western Christians needed to think about this. Lazarus, Yegin Alzer and his wife Maggie lead 222 Ministries International, a church planning and training network that includes satellite television broadcast and more than 50 underground churches in Iran. He reports that almost all rights and citizen privileges have been taken from Christians in their home country. Freedom of worship, freedom of meeting together are non-existent. As a result, if or when Iran becomes open to the gospel again, he fears that we are not ready for the opportunity. All we can think of is going there and taking back some of our church buildings, doing some painting and remodeling, buying some new pews, and picking up where we left off. That will not transform the future generation. The great need in Iran is to develop leaders who can develop leaders. Yegin Alzer notes, "If I say to you, here is $5 million, you have two choices on how you would spend it for the kingdom. You can lead 5,000 people to Christ, or you could develop 10 Apostle Pauls. What would you do?" He says, "I would not even blink. I would spend it on Pauls every time." Here is his message for Western Christians. Don't go after numbers. How deep is the growing church? How committed is the growing church? He warns that a tsunami of opposition to the gospel is inevitable. When it comes, if the seeds have not gone deep in the hearts of believers, it will wash away. Tonight, what I'm doing is I'm beginning a new study for the next several weeks on the God you may not know. The God you may not know. It's really interesting. I read the other day that Dennis Wise was a fan of Elvis Presley. In fact, he was such a fan that after Elvis Presley died in 1977, Dennis Wise went to a plastic surgeon and he had his face adjusted to resemble Elvis Presley. Now, he went around impersonating Elvis Presley. He would do a few gigs here, a few gigs there, make a little extra money here and a little money there. In other words, Elvis Presley was his role model. Elvis Presley was Dennis Wise's idol. He gave some words in his pursuit of all things Elvis. He reported this in the Boston Globe. And here's what the Boston Globe said. "Presley's been an idol of mine ever since I was 5 years old. I have every record he ever made, twice over. Pictures in the thousands. I have books, magazines, pillows, even a couple of books in Chinese and Japanese about him. I even have tree leaves from the front of his house." He said, "I never saw Elvis Presley in person. I only saw him in the movies 4 times. Once I stood up on the wall of the Presley Mansion and tried to see him. For 12 hours I stood trying to get a glimpse of him, but he had so many people around him that you could never get close." Now, I think tonight it would be safe for you and me to say that Dennis Wise worshiped Elvis Presley, but he never met the object of his worship. He worshiped Elvis Presley, but he never met him face to face. He never met him in a personal way. He knew a lot about Elvis. He knew a lot about Elvis's songs. He knew Elvis's films. He knew about his records. He knew where he would be making appearances. He knew what kind of food that he liked. He knew what kind of clothes that he wore. He knew what kind of cars that he drove. And he knew a lot of things about Elvis Presley. But let me tell you, knowing about him and meeting him in a personal way is two different things. You see, knowing about God, who is the object of our worship tonight, is not the same thing as knowing God himself. I want you to think about that tonight. How well do you really know God? It's one thing to know about him. It's another thing to know him personally. Ken sang that song a few moments ago. I love that song. Had great words in that. And I thought about this. I want you to just think for just a minute right now. Where is your going to place? Where is the place that you go to commune with God, to be with him alone? Where is it that, what is your special place where you go to meet with him, where you go to worship him? For you see, I believe in the world that you and I live in, with some statistics say 2.3, depending on what particular study you read. Some say 2.3 billion professing Christians in the world. Some say 2.8 billion professing Christians in the world. But I wonder how many of those 2.3 to 2.8 billion professing Christians in the world, I wonder how many of them know about God. But I wonder more so how many of them know God. And what we're going to be looking at for the next several weeks is the God you may think you know, but the God that you may not know. Now tonight, what I want to do is I want to share a verse of scripture found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, because where do we know God? How can we know God? How can we know him more personally? How can you and I know him more intimately? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, For the word of God, the Bible, notice, is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How can I know God? Not just know about him, but how can I know him personally? As we've been looking at the exclusivity of Jesus Christ on Sunday morning, I've injected another sermon into that several week series that I'm going to be doing. But I'm going to be a week from Sunday morning. This Sunday morning is discipleship now for our youth. They will have it on Friday night, Saturday. And on Sunday, I've asked Tim Martin, who is the youth minister at First Baptist Church Lawton East, to speak on Sunday morning, because he's going to be speaking to parents and grandparents about their children and the rearing of their children. And I've asked Tim Martin if he will stay over for that. Blake will be staying over from Dallas to do the music for us Sunday morning. Many of you would know Tim Martin's grandparents, Mildred and Leroy Duncan. You would know his parents. They have now passed into eternity and to be with Jesus in heaven, Bob and Trevlyn Martin. Many of you would know his other grandparents, his paternal grandparents, Bob and Betty Martin, who were longtime members at Highland Park Baptist. And of course, Mildred and Leroy were members at Emmanuel Baptist Church. But Tim is a great guy. And Tim is going to be preaching this Sunday morning. I will be here, but I've asked him to stay over to speak because of discipleship now. But the following Sunday morning, I'm going to preach on why I believe that the Bible is literally true. Why do I believe that the Bible is true? You see, Hebrews says, for the word of God, scriptures, the Bible, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Now, there are three things tonight that I want to speak about, and we're going to look at the first scripture in just a few moments. But Isaiah said in the book of Isaiah in chapter 30, verse 15, in this phrase, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. In the 46th Psalm, verse 10 for tonight, three points that I want to speak about, three particular passages of Scripture, is the psalmist said in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. That's all that I'm going to be referring to in that sentence. Be still and know that I'm God. The first thing I want to speak about tonight is be still. Be still. Be still. What does it mean? What does it mean to be still tonight? Well, Webster says in his dictionary that the word still means not moving, motionless, undisturbed. I want you to think about that. When Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. There's a hymn that says, be still my soul. The Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change he faithful will remain. Be still my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Though thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still my soul. Tonight I want you to think about that. To be still. You and I live in a very, very chaotic world that is ever moving and is never still. Now, if you and I are going to know the God we think we know, but the God we may not know, then we're going to have to be still. To know Him, we're going to have to be still. Not moving, motionless, undisturbed. I don't know about you, but how many of you get busy in your quiet time with the Lord? Or you get busy in studying a particular thing in the Bible, and all of a sudden, your cell phone rings. All of a sudden, you get a text message. You see, I believe in order to be still and know that He is God, to be intimate with Him on a daily basis, you have to get away from the cell phone. Hello, are y'all with me? I promise you, it does not matter where you go. It is the cell phone is in everybody's face. It is everywhere. And no wonder, I believe that Satan has his traps set for us so that we will not be still and know that He is God. Let me tell you, it's a brand new year. It's a brand new year, and we live in a very fast-paced world. And the Apostle Paul said one time, but this one thing I do. One thing. One thing. Be still, the psalmist said. Now, this is a brand new year. If we're going to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind, let me tell you, there are countless things that are going to pull us in all kinds of directions. In fact, one of the reasons I believe there's so much confusion in churches of all denominations everywhere, I think it's because God's people are not still enough to know the God that they think they know but may not know. I believe that that's why there's so much confusion in churches. It's because if we truly know the God that we think we know, He's not the author of confusion. And the Bible tells us that. He's not the author of confusion. And there are churches everywhere that are splitting and dividing over this and over that. But I can assure you, based upon God's word, it's not because God has changed, but Satan is alive and he's well. And let me tell you, he does not want you to mature beyond where you are at this present time. And he will use every trick and every trap in order to keep you and me from being still. You see, on any given Sunday morning, how many people all over the United States, all over the world, listen to the gospel? John Cooksey came up to me Sunday night, and he said he went in and looked in the past 28 days. Get this, in the past 28 days, somewhere in the world, almost 1,300 people tuned in to this church broadcast and to our website and listened in. Almost 1,300 people in the past 28 days. Let me tell you, I believe that people are hungry. I believe people are starving for spiritual maturation, for spiritual food. But let me tell you, the world is so busy and so crazy and so going here and there that we don't have time to be still and know the God who stepped out of heaven's glory and came to live among us, to identify with what we experience, yet without sin. Let me tell you, if we are going to know him, and we've got to be still, then the right priority should be God first. God should be first in our lives. And our family should come next. And our church family should come next. You see, one of Satan's traps is to busy us. And it should be every Christian's heart desire to be still, to know Jesus and to know him more fully and to know him more intimately, rather than just to know, hey, I've heard there's a God. Yes, I went to Sunday school. I went to vacation Bible school. Yes, I know Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. But you see, that's as far as some Christians ever seem to get in their spiritual life. They know about him, but to know him more fully. You see, I wonder tonight how many people there are out there that are struggling. The psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. Tonight, the second thing I want us to see is not only to be still. If we are going to know the God that we say that we know, and yet we may not know him as we say that we know him, not only do we have to be still and know that he's God, but secondly, to know him. Be still and know. The word to know him. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death. You see, Paul was saying that if you are going to live this holy life, no one can live a holy life without utter commitment, passion, and dedication to the life purpose of knowing Christ. And Paul made that his major goal in all of life. He wanted to know him, to know him. How do you know someone? There's an old song many years ago that was called Getting to Know You, Getting to Know All About You. Any of y'all old enough to remember that song? Well, I'm not, but I've heard it. Well, let me tell you, there's to get to know somebody. You know, most of us go through life. I want you to think about this. Most of us go through life and we really don't know the people we think we know. We really don't know them. We know may know a little bit about them. But to really, really, really know them. You see, Paul had met Christ on the Damascus Road. And it made such a transformation in his whole life, in his whole world, that he wanted nothing more in life than to know him. To know him. Let me tell you, a lot of husbands and wives, I have been told that you can live with somebody for a lifetime and still not know them. Don't incriminate yourself, please. Your spouse is sitting beside some of you. But how many of you truly do you know the person? You can meet someone, but that doesn't mean that you know them. I mean, there are many people. I meet thousands of people. Maybe you do as well. But many of the people that you meet in life, many of them are instantly forgotten. Or maybe you're in a crowd and somebody comes up and says to you, "Do you remember me?" Duh. You know, number one, you either guess. Number two, you hedge. Or number three, you punch somebody and say, "Who is that? What's their name?" Any of you ever do that? Well, you know, it depends upon the setting where you run into people. I have people all the time, they see me because they see me at funerals, they see me in the hospitals, they see me somewhere out on the street. They know me, they know my name, but sometimes it's hard to recall every person that you meet and to really know them. And so, if you don't spend time with people, you can't really know them. Let me tell you, do you know the one? Or do you just know about the one who gave his life? The one who hung on the cross, bleeding profusely from sweat drops of blood, bleeding because of a spear pierced through the heart and the blood and the water gushed out. Read any medical report and you'll find out that person died. The one who knew no sin yet took sin upon himself. The one who would even cry out when God was utterly silent to say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" To know someone requires genuine interest. You know, I hear people say a lot of times, "Well, you know, so-and-so just asked too many questions." Well, you know, I don't know. I'm a very inquisitive person. And the reason I'm very inquisitive is because I'm not trying to be nosy. I'm trying to know you. Now, I know a lot of people, if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And you'll say, "How are you doing?" And guess what? Ken, they give you an organ recital. They tell you about every organ in their body that aches and pains. And there are some that get to know others much more intimately than maybe they even want to know them. Because once you start and they start counting their prescriptions and the color of the pills. And I can remember a lady I visited one time years ago. She said, "Oh my goodness." She said, "Look at my pills. Here's, this one's green. This one's yellow. Isn't this one pretty? It's red." You know, by that time I was already bum-fuzzled. I said, "Yes, they are beautiful. Now let's get back to what we were talking about." Well, a lot of people love to have an organ recital to know about pains. But if you really want to know someone, you've got to spend quality time with them. You've got to build a relationship. And that takes a lifetime to know him and to know him in the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. To know him, Paul wanted to know this one that called out to him with a voice on the Damascus road. That was his main thing in life. He wanted to know the keeper of the stars. He wanted to know the one who controls the universe, the one who knows all there is. To know about space and technology and nuclear physics and biochemistry and electronics. He wanted to know the one who lived down here and experience life to the full and tasted its joys and its sorrows and its possibilities and all of its pains. Paul wanted to know the one who fully understands, the one who loves unconditionally. He wanted to know the one who encourages, the one who comforts, the one who forgives. He wanted to know the one who's good, the one who's patient, the one who is kind, the one who is helpful, the one who is always just, the one who is always right. He wanted to know him, that in this life eternal. For you and me, there should be no greater goal in all of life, no greater goal in all of eternity than to know him. But you see, to know him, you have to spend time. You have to listen to him. You have to respond to him. You have to talk with him. And that's why I asked you a few moments ago, where is your place? Where is that place for you where you get away from the maddening crowd of life? You get away from the cell phone. You get away from the television. And it's just you and you alone. I remember years ago, one of my senior adults at Emmanuel was in the nursing home. She was in her late 80s. I would go and visit her and many of them religiously. I would sit, I would listen to them. That's how I got to know them. That's how I became very acquainted with them. And she would say to me, I had three daughters. We lived on a farm. She said, I would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I would go to my garden. And there I would kneel, and there I would pray, and I would get my orders for the day from God. Because I knew at a certain time, my girls would get up, and if they knew I was in the garden, they would come to the garden where I was. My place, my quiet place, to be still and know that he is God, she said, was out in the garden. I don't know about everyone else, but I want to know him so that when I see him face to face, I will be well acquainted with the author of the word that I read each day of life. Third and lastly, this morning, I want us to see this, to be still and know, and to know him. And then thirdly, I want us to look at 2 Peter 3:18. Where Peter says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. I want you to think about grace. Grace. I believe, Sue, you were playing Grace So Amazing is with me each day. How many of you can remember that from Falls Creek? I'll never forget when it was first premiered at Falls Creek, and I love that song, Grace So Amazing. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace, what is grace? It's unmerited favor. It's us getting what we don't deserve because God loved us so much that he freely gave. Someone put it this way, G-R-A-C-E-G. God, our riches, God's riches, A, at, C, Christ, E, expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. But grow. How do I grow? I grow through the word. I grow through prayer. I grow through being still and knowing that he is God. To know him. Not just to know about him. I know about. But do I know him? You see, the God you and I may not know. To know him. But grow. How do I grow? I grow in grace. God's wonderful grace. And knowledge. Where do I get the knowledge of my Lord and Savior? Where do I get that knowledge? I get it by being still and knowing that He is God through His Word, through intimate, personal fellowship with Him in that quiet place. To know Him, Paul said, that was his great passion in life. The God you and I may not know because of our lack of spending quality time with Him. I hope these next several weeks will be something that will be challenging to each one of us. I hope that it will be something that will cause us to know Him more fully and more intimately in the days to come. Amen. God bless you. Would you stand with me as we pray together tonight?